Last week, I went to the Peabody Library to check out an exhibition devoted to the work of the acclaimed novelist, essayist, and teacher John Barth. The show is called Lost and Found in the Funhouse, an allusion to one of Barth's most famous novels. I spoke with Gabrielle Dean, the curator of literary rare books and manuscripts at the Sheraton Libraries at Johns Hopkins. She's the curator of the Barth exhibition. Gabrielle Dean, welcome back to Maryland Morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So John Barth, why an entire exhibition related to this particular writer? Some folks have suggested that he really has had a lot to do in shaping American literature in the 20th century and the early 21st century. In what way do you think that's the case?
Well, that is one really important part of this story, is his role in what some folks call postmodern literature, which is a word that makes people back away from you very slowly sometimes. But what it really means in his case is that he's participating in a really long tradition of writing fiction that comments on itself as fiction, which is kind of appropriate, I think, to our contemporary moment, where we're always sort of seeing reflections of ourselves in our Facebook profiles and our Twitter feeds. He was kind of already there with this technique called metafiction, fiction about fiction. The other thing I think that's really important about John Barth is he's really a local boy who kind of made it big. He sort of followed the American dream in its literary version. He's from a small town on the Eastern Shore. He went to a high school that only had 11 grades. He ended up at a good university where he struggled and worked and made a life for himself as a writer, which, you know, is pretty impressive from those beginnings.
And that university, of course, is Johns Hopkins University, which is the sponsor and the connection of Barth to this community. He was a student at Hopkins, an undergraduate and a graduate student, and then for many years on the faculty of the writing seminars. Very influential as a teacher as well as a novelist.
Yeah, super influential as a teacher. And that's one of the things that was one of the really fun discoveries of the archive when it came to Hopkins, is we were delighted to find in it things like notebooks and drafts of manuscripts and published books, but we also found folders of all his teaching notes and his syllabi, and it became really clear that he devoted as much thought and careful consideration to his teaching as he had to his writing. He also didn't force his students to follow in his footsteps. He let them be who they were as writers. He encouraged them to be different kinds of writers. And I think that's a really overlooked part of the writing life, you know, encouraging the next generation in all different kinds of ways.
So we're standing in front of one of the cases here at this exhibition, and I'll admit that I'm personally a big sucker for manuscripts. And this is, the exhibition, of course, is called Lost and Found in the Funhouse. And we're looking at some very early manuscripts and early versions of the book Lost in the Funhouse when it was published. So we're staring at a notebook where he's made some notes, and then we've got one that he's labeled first draft, and then we see a typed draft that has some, you know, marginalia in it. What do you think you learn about John Barth, or for that matter, any author, when you look at these handwritten manuscripts and you see its evolution from a handwritten manuscript to a typed manuscript to then published books?
I think one of the things you see is how hard he worked. I mean, each one of these stages in the written evolution of a story, it's a pretty well-known story and an amazing story, and it, when you read it, it just feels kind of magical, you know, that you're flowing along in the story. But to get to that point, he did so many notes and drafts and revisions and changes along the way. So that's a story of hard work embedded in, you know, the fun pleasure that we get to have as readers. And it's invisible to most of us. I mean, writers make it their job to make that work invisible. So I love manuscripts too, and I love seeing the different changes, the minute changes sometimes that have a really big impact on your reading experience. It's pretty fascinating. And, you know, we are so lucky that he was working at a time when people left behind traces of all those stages. It's a lot harder now if people are going into a document on their, you know, laptop and just updating that document. Takes some pretty fancy digital forensics to retrieve those stages now. But then in the late 20th century, you know, yeah, he wrote on paper, so we can see every step that he took.
Let's take a few steps of our own over here to another case here at the exhibition at the Peabody Library. And this actually is one of an unpublished novel. We see, again, a few stages of the manuscript. So this collection that the Barths have bequeathed to Hopkins includes all sorts of stuff. And it even includes his own personal library, the books that he had in his library, some of which are autographed and annotated by some pretty famous people. What do we know about this unpublished novel?
Well, it's called The New Science, and he was working on it in the mid-1990s. I think he abandoned it because he wasn't happy about it, and I'm not sure how complete it is. It doesn't look complete because it looks short. And, you know, if you've ever read a John Barth novel, you know that a lot of them are pretty long. So scholars haven't had a chance to sort of poke this one yet. We don't really know exactly how it fits into his work as a whole, but I guess I found it kind of touching that this writer, who has published 17 works of fiction, just seemed to have it down. It has a whole process of drafting, revising, publishing, was incredibly successful. He also struggled, and some things he just didn't like, and he decided not to work on anymore.
And it's a fairly courageous act to then allow this to be displayed publicly. That's really interesting. It's one thing to be judged by your work. It's another thing to be judged by the stuff that you decided wasn't your work.
And all the notes that he took, those are on display as well. Those are in the archive for scholars to look at. I agree. It is courageous, and it's kind of a, I think it's a testament to his faith in the sort of ongoing legacy of writing. You know, he's going to let people look at his detritus and his rejects and his drafts, because maybe we'll all learn something from it.
There's another display over here in one of the cases that has some of the publicity that he received, newspaper articles, magazine articles, that kind of thing. He eventually became a very well-known writer, a very famous person. Did it change him at all? Was he writing any differently after he became very successful and well-known as opposed to his early career?
His writing did change in the late 60s, but it really wasn't, I don't think it was a response to success. It was a response to, you know, the world was changing, and he was kind of staying on top of current events. He wanted his writing to be relevant. He was pretty well known, but the sort of ironic thing is he is well known. The ironic thing is that he's in some ways known more for the things he wrote earlier on than the things he wrote later on. And one great sort of expression of that is this case right behind us that's got these reprints and sort of pulp novel versions of his works. They made them look like, with the cover designs, they made them look like science fiction novels or fantasy novels or romance novels. And it's true that there's romance, you know, there's relationships in some of his works, there's, you know, voyages to other times in history. You could sort of lump it into a sci-fi or a fantasy genre, but that's really not what he was doing. But his publishers, to get him to a wider market, were trying to package things in a way that would appeal to those tastes. That's pretty interesting, I think.
And it certainly has appealed to an awful lot of folks and with a lot of different tastes. This is a terrific show. Gabrielle Dean, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It was fun talking with you.
Gabrielle Dean is the curator of literary rare books and manuscripts in the Department of Special Collections at the Sheraton Libraries at Johns Hopkins University. Lost and Found at the Fun House is at the Peabody Library in Baltimore till the end of February. We've got a link to more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. That's it for us today. Coming up Wednesday on the program, what to do with four monuments in Baltimore that celebrate figures in the Confederacy, an artist who's used a personal tragedy to inspire his latest project, and I'll visit the new exhibition on Islamic art at the Walters Art Museum. Hope you can join us. Until then, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.